Why is it important that we know what it is? But first of all, before we have our first time of worship together singing, we're going to have a couple of times to press into God. I was speaking to my dad this week, and we were talking about Matthew 6. And I'm just going to read this to you. And we talked about something that will come out of this. So it says Matthew 6, verse 25, down to 33. So if you want to turn to it, please do. But it says this. It says, do not be anxious. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, would he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But the verse I want to focus on is but seek first the kingdom of God. And that's a bit I've spoken on before and focused on that bit. But actually, we were talking about and his righteousness. And when we had the half night of prayer a few weeks ago, one of the things that came out of that was seeking to be righteous, which is not trying to be good or putting on a face that makes you look good, but actually getting in front of God, going, we want to seek God's way and follow God's way. And as I was reading further in the week, Psalm 34, it talks about taste and see that the Lord is good, but there are three verses that struck me, which was, the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous and his ears towards their cry. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And also many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And as a chosen people by God, we have been made righteous with him, but he seeks a church that reflects him in his glory. Now, we're not going to get it right all the time, but as we have a time where we're going to press in and seek his face and his presence, this is a time when we say, God, make us a righteous people that know what it is to be made right with him. But also, it says then, and I like this last one in particular because we all suffer from time to time, but it says many of the afflictions of the righteous. So just because we've been made righteous, it doesn't mean we are outside of these earthly clothes, body. Things happen to us that are bad and are hard. But he does say the Lord delivers him out of them all. And it's an encouragement to us. So as we worship together at the beginning today, I'm just saying to you that God has made us righteous. But actually, he's encouraging us to pursue a life of righteousness. So turning away from the things that we have done that are against his will. Saying, what is it you got for me? And when you taste and see what God has for you, you will see that he is good. Because that is his faithfulness to us. And it has gone on from generation to generation to generation that he is faithful and his love will never fail. So as we go into a time of worship now, let's just be encouraged. If God speaks to you, please do share it for the encouragement of others. It does say that he can speak to anyone now because God has made that pathway to him real. And that's what he wants to do with us this afternoon. So I encourage you just to share. If you're not sure and you're a little bit shy, come and speak to me. And we can sort that out, but God wants to speak to us this afternoon. I have no doubt about that, because he loves to do it. So let's spend some time pressing in to him.
If you'd like to stand. Did someone say no?
You don't have to.
You don't have to if you don't want to.
Because in the beginning, when I used to tell people about why I became a Christian or how it happened, I always used to start by telling my mum and dad's story. Because my dad got saved when he was 40, became a Christian when he was 40, and he'd had a bit of a past that was quite checkered, and I thought his story's a bit more interesting than mine. So I used to tell his, and then go, and then I met Jesus, down the road. But actually, about probably 3 years ago, something like that, God... I sat talking to God going, look, you know, I want to share, obviously, what God's done for me. And he just blew me away with an example of how he'd chosen me. I'm an only child, lived in a hamlet outside Salisbury, which I'm glad to be miles away from right at the moment, to be honest. But I live close to Salisbury. Neither parent was a Christian, no Christian influence in our family at all. And at the age of 4 or 5... a local Baptist minister came in and said, we're getting a minibus together and we're taking some kids into the local Baptist church and doing Sunday school and all of that kind of stuff. And so mum and dad were like, yep, take him. That gives us a few hours on our own, happy days. And took me on the bus and off I went into the village and met with these really old people every week. But there was a group of probably 4 or 5, so it wasn't even a lot of us. But we just started to learn Bible stories. And at that point, God started to awaken me to the reality that God might be real. Now, bear in mind, I go home. My parents had a bit of a spiritualist background, so there were all sorts of things that they were exploring, but I never, ever was impacted by any of that, and I never even was aware of that. And then when I was about 7, I went away to a place called Spring Harvest, and a guy called Ishmael was speaking and singing his many songs, and the impact of Christ dying, and he did this one talk, and I found myself, it was one of those moments where he said, anybody wants to come and meet Jesus, come to the front, and I sat on the mat going, I am not going anywhere, but I found myself walking to the front and responding to Jesus. And Jesus said to me, you've got a message of hope for those that are in situations where it appears I am not there. Because I can reach in to any situation at any time and take somebody out of that and reveal myself to them. At the age of 5, he came into the middle of my family and took me and said, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And all of a sudden, a testimony that seemed quite normal became a reality. So when I'm praying for people, that I look at their surroundings and families and go, how can God ever reach into that? God said, I reached in and grabbed you and took you for myself. Now, I didn't get baptized till I was 14 because I wrestled with a lot along the way. And then one day someone said to me, why haven't you been baptized in water? And I said, because I don't want to. And they took me to the Bible and said, it doesn't say, do you want to get baptized? It says, as part of our obedience to him, repent and be baptized. And I had a moment with God then and said, okay, God, I'm going to submit to you. If that's what the Bible says, I'm going to do it. So I don't like standing up in front of people, or didn't then particularly. But I went and did that and invited family that weren't Christians, friends that weren't, and was able to say again, this is the message that God has given me, and it is relevant and real for you. And I was baptized in water. Then we go forward to the age of 18. I spent 3 years at college. I repeated a year. Part of my journey was going to Club 1830s in Ibiza and came back on a Sunday night. I had my A-level exam Monday morning. I got a U, which you might not be surprised to know. So I had 3 years at college and no qualifications at all, because I didn't even get the other bit I was doing either. And I sat there going, I wanted to go to Southampton Uni and do occupational therapy. But that was somewhat taken off the table. And I was really thinking, what do I do now? Because I was in a right foot in both camps. And you can't be, God says, you can't be like that. Either be hot or be cold. I'm not having you halfway in, halfway out. And I got a phone call from a friend that moved to Birmingham and said, why don't you come and work for the church for a year? I was thinking, well, that doesn't sound the most fun I could have. But the thought of going from sleepy Salisbury all the way up to Birmingham seemed like quite a good fun move. So I said, okay. And I went away and thought about it. And about 10 minutes later, the leader of the church, Jonathan Bell, who some of you may know is in Church Central, rang back and said that we'd like you to come and do this for a year. We got a youth work role as well in Solihull with another church. Would you come and do this? So, okay, I'll give that a go. And from then on, the rest is history in terms of God got me to that point. And I don't know how I got there. It was all wayward and a bit messy. But at every stage of my life, when there is a decision to be made, God has reached down and gone, now I'm making your path straight. This is where you're coming with me. And to this point here, even now, when I talk about why we moved to Bromsgrove, it was because we got diverted on a route back down south through Bromsgrove. Bromsgrove got in our head, and then we started the ball rolling when we heard there might be a plant here 10 odd years ago. And decided to move and be part of that. And God, everything in my life has been by mistake, by God dragging me, or by choices, God's hand on my life. And so when I have a testimony to tell people, and this is the bit that God's challenging me about, when I talk to people, God should be in that, because everything I'm doing is because God's asked me to do it, and I'm trying to serve him. And the phrase he keeps saying to me, Ben, is, Ben, be bold and courageous. Okay, I don't want to be bold and courageous. I don't feel like that. And he keeps repeating, be bold and courageous, because the message we have is a great message. So we've got a testimony, twofold. It's our own walk. So I'd encourage you to think about your life, your walk with God. Because sometimes you ask a Christian, they say, "What is your? When did you become a Christian?" You say, well, I don't really remember. And you kind of merges into one, doesn't it? But actually, there's still a story of Jesus moving in your life. And it doesn't matter if it's 10 years ago, if it's last week, there is something there that you, if you sit with him and say, reveal it to me, it makes you alive. And we've started to do it in life group, people giving their testimony. It's quite enjoyable. It's what's got it back in my head again, is that reflecting on what God has already done to have faith for what he's going to do. Because sometimes we forget the good bits and just see all the bad bits. When actually, I know my God is faithful. I know I've been in his hand since the age of 4 or 5 when he took me out of that home, introduced himself to me and led me down various ways to get to Birmingham, Bromsgrove and wherever we go next. Because he has his hand upon me. And we all have that story to share. And ultimately it's because we know who he is and what he's done for us. And that's the message we have. It's twofold. So what I'm going to do now is ask you, if you've come with somebody that you know, just to spend a couple of minutes and just think about your journey. Okay, we're going to have an X Factor moment. I nearly said Love Island, but I'll keep that quiet. X Factor moment. And think about what is it that you think, when you look back at God's hand on you, what is it where you can say, I've seen his faithfulness for me. For me, it's been provision, money, everything. God has provided so much for me. So just have a moment with the people you're with, if you come with, and just think, what is it on my journey that I say, do you know what, God is faithful because, and have a little think about that. Okay. I don't forget anything. Okay. So it's one of those things that doesn't really take 2 minutes, does it, once you start discussing what's happened over the last however many years. But what I want to bring that up is because we are family and we are on a mission. And the mission element is something that is difficult to do sometimes. And like I said, God has said to me, be bold and courageous. And that's what he's challenging us to do, to be bold and courageous, because we have a story that is worth sharing. But also the family bit, again, is when we come together, it doesn't matter about the building, but the fact that as a people and wherever we are in a setting, it is like coming home, because we have one Father who is waiting for us as we come into a presence and we do it together. There's a restoration to be had when we come together as a family. And this is it. So when we're sharing each other's stories, that's when you start to deepen those relationships with each other. I actually know something about that person. Now, it's not just a name or a face or a person that I see every now and again. You say, actually, these are people that I know and I'm doing life with. And I know that they're struggling, or I know that their story is amazing. I've got a friend that could do with meeting them because their story is very similar. Be good to go and hook them up and have a chat. There's lots of reasons why getting that testimony and that bringing each other out. Because we can teach and we can learn, but when we get an impartation from someone's heart of where they've been, why they've done it, then that is when the Church of God comes alive, because God has a massive heart which is bigger than ours, and it beats for us. And that will get going. We will get going, and it will be an exciting place to be. So what I'd like us to do in response to some of the things that were said earlier, we can have another bit of singing worship together just to conclude. But I'd like us to actually have a little look around and see if there's anybody around that you could go and encourage. Not because it's good for you, but because it might be good for them. And actually, if God's speaking to you, feel free. It's brilliant when people share things. I'm really encouraged by what's been said already today. It's excellent. And then we've got, I already know one person's got something that she's going to share with us right now. So are you okay to come and share this? No. I'm quite happy for you to do it.
Just a bit of an encouragement. Right, well, this is a bit off the wall, but then it's Ben leading, so I thought it was probably all right. When Flick was praying earlier, I'm sorry, Flick, I can't remember what you were praying. I just saw a word, God revealed to me a word, and it didn't make any sense. And the word was Yoy, Y-O-Y. And I felt that it stands for you, only you. In other words, you, Lord, only you. And actually, we all follow things, don't we? We all have desires in our heart, but what we should be doing is not following the things of the world, but following the Lord. And we can just say, you, only you, Lord, as an act of worship. And I feel that's for the grown-ups, but for the kids, I thought maybe that's something that could be a mantra for you lot as you go off to New Day. And this is what the bit that I wanted Ben to lead. Can we have that as a shout of joy, like hallelujah, but can we say joy instead? Kids, can you stand up and join in this? Maybe adults as well, big kids.
So, I like this because it is well out of our comfort zone. And that is a good thing, okay? Because it does say in the Bible, shouts for joy. So don't be frightened of shouting. I'm a little bit nervous about the little ones, so hopefully it won't disturb them too much. But it is a case of, it's the heart behind it, isn't it? Sometimes I want to dance and my feet don't do what my head wants them to do, but I make some sort of movement. But other times, I'm at a game of football, I want to shout. And this is all we're saying, is we're going to shout just as an expression of, yep, come on, you, only you. So the word, we're making a new word today in the dictionary, joy. So what I'm going to say, I'm up for it. So if there are anybody under the age of 18, I'm going to say initially, and then we might see the adults do it, but actually under 18s, then I would encourage you, and I'm going to do it with you, just to shout out joy and have some fun with it. That's all we're doing, okay? So you, only you it's standing for, so if you are ready to do this, I'm going to do it with you, and if I do it on my own, I don't mind. So joy is the word. Okay, we ready? One, two, three. Joy! Come on! Okay, ready? One, two, three. Joy! Well done. Okay, adults, you can have a go at doing this now. Okay, you've seen how encouraged and excited the kids were. You all look a lot happier about it. So, one more chance then. Everyone together. And then we'll do it together, and then we will worship and keep that in our mind, okay? So you only you, that's what we're saying. I surrender. This is what we're looking at. It's the heart with a bit of fun along the way. Okay, so nice and loud then all together. One, two, three.
Yay!
Okay, good. We praise the Lord.
I don't know how we're going to follow that.
With a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Opening the windows, freshening things up with God, then please do stand with someone if it is something that is in your life that you're going through at the moment, thinking, I can't see the wood for the trees, but actually God's hand is with you even in those moments, and seek his blessing and his promise is there for you. If it is difficult, but you are following him, his blessing will be with you and go with you. I'm sure Christine will be happy to pray with you. If that is you, then please do speak to her. We're going to keep worshipping. But if there's anything else that you want prayer for, if there's healing that you want prayer for, then please do ask, because God is in our midst and present and wants to meet with us. So.
I would love to go to Zambia.
Also Jonathan and Luke have gone up to the New Day to prepare the room today to start getting the tents up and things like that. They've already gone. Prayer forms really, if you're not sure, it's just that the presence of God is evident that these guys have peace in God. They're all up for the yawing comment now, I'll keep that going. And Cameron's going to Zambia to visit people that we are there filling camp.
I did not realise
so
Thank you.